Okay. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Cameron Jalbert. I'm a financial planner with Chatterton & Associates. I want to thank you for joining us on another episode of our podcast here. Today, we're going to be interviewing certified financial planner Eric Oh, also one of the financial planners here at Chatterton & Associates. I want to first off, wish everyone a happy new year. We're here in 2019. 2018 was an interesting year in the financial markets. We're going to be talking a little bit about that, but we're also going to be kind of talking about the 10 years after the financial crisis. Now that we're in 2019, we thought that maybe just talking about that 10-year period and reflecting on it would be a good way to get people thinking about how they can be proactive in this year of 2019 and make sure that we're taking the best care of our finances right out of the gate for a new year. So really, let's just start with that. Eric, if you wouldn't mind maybe just starting us off on a little bit of understanding, you know, that decade ago, that 2007, 2008, 2009 period, what really led up to that financial crisis, just to remind our listeners of what the basis of that was.
Sure. So, you know, 2005, 2006, we were seeing a skyrocketing housing market, which was driven by improving economic fundamentals. Wage growth was at its highest in quite some time, and we were seeing GDP growth that was growing at roughly 5%. And that was being driven by a housing market that was basically turning into a bubble. And there were these subprime mortgages where people could get a loan with what they called stated income, which basically meant that you can tell the banks or the lenders that you make, say, a few hundred thousand dollars a year without even having to prove that income. And so there were people that were getting these mortgages that had no business getting them, and they wouldn't even be close to being considered as of today in terms of the lending practices that we're seeing today. So it was a unique time period. These mortgages were then packaged as investments and sold on Wall Street and sold to everyday investors through mutual funds. And so it was a systemic failure that happened here. And as the mortgage bubble started to burst, that really exacerbated everything. And it eventually turned into the collapse of Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, and what we saw as a global financial crisis. So it was the worst recession that we have seen literally since the Great Depression of 1920s.
Scary times indeed. And I think that it's crucial for people just to reflect on some of the things when you're comparing that to our current market today. You know, you made a good point that stated income, you know, that's almost hilarious, right? To think that they were letting people do that. Hilarious is not the best word for it.
but ironic.
Yeah, it's very ironic. To say the least, yeah. And you know, anyone now that even to go get a home equity line of credit or to refinance your house, I mean, you are jumping through hoops of stated income and different reports that you need to report to them. So maybe just give our listeners an idea of, you know, what do you think some of the proper steps forward to prevent something like that from happening again? You know, what are some of those things in today's market, the preventative measures that are in place?
I think we've already seen that for many years now. And since the downturn, the practice has changed quite a bit here now. And, you know, in order to get approved for a loan, it's much more stringent. We are seeing some loosening in credit standards a little bit, but still credit standards are at their all-time highs right now. And so, you know, with the passage of Dodd-Frank, you know, these were banking regulations that were passed through Congress, and they've put much higher reserve restrictions on banks. So banks have to carry more in terms of liquidity on their balance sheets. They can't give out as many risky loans anymore. So there are these regulations in place that are preventing these types of risky loans from becoming prevalent like they were before. Now that can change over time if Congress changes legislation or becomes more lax on banking regulations. But as of right now, it's a vastly different environment than where we were before. Banks have a lot of liquidity on hand. Their capital reserves are up quite a bit. You know, only time will tell if the next downturn will put the banks in stress again. But for right now, it doesn't seem likely that that's going to happen. And therefore, we believe that even though we're seeing a cooling in the housing market right now with interest rates going up, it's more of a cyclical adjustment. And we don't think it's a major downturn in housing that like we saw 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think that's a good point to make. You know, that it is so different than that environment, and every cycle is so different. Maybe let's talk a little bit about just the recent volatility that we had at the end of 2018, sure. You know, really from fall of 2018 into the new year, shed some perspective on that, please, Eric, on just the volatility that has come back in these last few months that really disappeared for quite a while.
Right. So, you know, the last 2 years, you know, we were able to enjoy stock markets that were rising in tandem, whether that was US or international, and with very little volatility. And now as we go into 2018, we've seen a lot of volatility. You know, it'll be interesting to see what 2019 brings us, but 2018 certainly was a volatile year. You know, I think really the culprit there was that even though our economic fundamentals here were sound, there were concerns that those fundamentals were breaking down in overseas markets, especially in China and other parts of Asia as the U.S. and China trade dispute was ratcheting up. 2019 is unfolding here. We're hoping that the U.S. and China will be able to find something of cooler heads to prevail, but, you know, only time will tell here. But I think there's the concern that that can eventually spill over into our U.S. markets, because fact of the matter is that even though our economy is relatively stable here, we've got a very low unemployment rate. It seems unlikely that we're going to go into a recession, but our corporations can take a hit also because, you know, roughly 40% or more of their sales come from overseas for even domestically headquartered firms in the U.S.
I think that's also something to kind of take away from that part of the information is how really global we are. You know, we talk about domestics and internationals as obviously the international markets tend to be more volatile than our domestic market, but our domestic market is so globally affected that those things, I think, in this day and age play an even larger role than they used to.
Absolutely.
Shifting gears to a little bit more about politics, just at the end of 2018, you know, sure. What do you think about the outcome of the midterm elections? A lot of people are curious how financial professionals view the midterm elections resulting in a shift maybe in economic future or not. Maybe just discuss that a little bit.
Right. So with the outcome of the midterm elections, as we know, the House was taken over by the Democrats. Republicans gained more seats in the Senate. So this definitely does change the dynamic from the first 2 years of the Trump presidency, which enjoyed basically Republican domination in both the House and the Senate and also in the presidency. They were able to pass a major tax law. The tax cuts that we saw in 2018, which drove the U.S. stock markets to their all-time highs by the end of 2017, that kind of legislation is very unlikely to pass today. You know, with the political stalemate that we're going to be seeing here, it seems unlikely that we're going to get a bipartisan agreement from the House and the Senate to be able to pass major legislation. That being said, it seems more likely that the Democrats are going to continue to challenge the president. And so this may cause some more chaotic moments, but we think it's going to be more noise in the background rather than any type of way of pulling in one direction or the other. It seems unlikely that either side is going to be able to get much done here. They talk about passing a infrastructure bill that's bipartisan, but that I think that there's still a very slim chance on something like that passing at this point because they're very far off as to where they want to spend that money.
Yeah, totally agree. That's great for the listeners. And kind of wrapping up, you know, we're really excited to be here in a new year. Everyone likes having a fresh start. Hopefully everyone has their resolutions, you know, written down and committed to. Obviously, us being financial planners here, we see all sorts of goals related to New Year resolutions being financial related. Right. So maybe just share with us, Eric, a little bit about, you know, what are some remarks that you would like to make to our listeners that want to make the most out of 2019 and to get started on the right foot?
So I just want to, again, bring some calm to these chaotic markets because these kind of downturns are pretty normal. I know it sounds cliche to say something like that, but coming off of a volatile year, it's easy for our emotions to want to drive towards safety and hiding from the markets. But if the economic fundamentals still stay sound here in the U.S. and then the global outlook starts to improve quarter by quarter, and if the U.S. and China can come to some kind of agreements for the time being, then there may be some upside to this. And still, you know, when we look at the valuations of the stock market right now, we're seeing some pretty attractive valuations. So it's a matter of whether fundamentals will break down or if they'll hold better and we'll see some improving markets as we go into 2019.
Definitely an exciting time with a lot of different moving pieces. Really something that we really like to help our clients focus and get organized for on any new year is simply just a review of all their fundamentals. Everything from their investment holdings and diversification needs to income objectives, their living trust review, prepping up for tax preparation. You know, these are all things that are just simply good to review as a starting point for your new year. So we're going to be having another large public seminar at the end of January and in early February. So we encourage any listeners that want to come in and meet us and hear a little bit more about how specifically we do help people. We really encourage you to come to that, as well as some other offerings to start off the new year on the right foot with just getting all your stuff in line and set up to have a prosperous 2019. So as always, we really thank you and appreciate you listening to these. And please check out our blog section on the website and any other information that might be relative to you. If you ever have any questions, you can always reach out to us via email or request info on the website. And we hope to see you soon in 2019. Thank you so much for listening.